chapter 5 this morning. I was pleased very much to hear what the pastor had selected for for the devotional this morning, because the lesson I've got for you this morning is not very well understood by a lot of people. But when you get in the Lord and you know and you study a little about what happened to people, it makes sense. So I hope and pray that I'll be able to give it to you like the Lord wants me to. And there's not anything to run from this if you obey the Lord. But otherwise, you know, it's like he said, God is a consuming fire.
Yes, sir.
And he made that known to the children of Israel right after they crossed the Red Sea. He made it known to them, as Brother Tim says, he blew the top off a mountain in their sight, and he spoke loud words like thunder, and they implored Moses that he let God speak to him. Then Moses would speak to the people. And God said, that's the way we probably need to do it. And so God did do that. He made Moses his spokesman. So now let me say this carefully. We take all the Bible. We don't skip any.
Right.
I know that in our communications and in our witnessing, there are certain scriptures that we put a little more emphasis on. But it's not that they're more weighted than any other scripture. In other words, John 3:16 is a favorite scripture of yours, probably. And if you've raised in church, you probably were instructed to memorize that very early in life. But it's no more important than, Genesis 12 and 3. And I don't know what that says, but anyway, I'm just saying, all the Word of God is spoken by God.
Right.
So when we approach the lesson today, I want us to take it with that kind of attitude. And we'll try to see what the Lord has done here. Now, let me say something to start off with. God is not some old gray-headed feller with a beard down to his belt off in the corner of heaven that's lost control and thinks that things out of control, and some of these days he'd wring his hands and say, I didn't think it'd turn out like this.
Right.
That's not who God is. Now, when I communicate with people, I kind of get that idea that that's sometimes who they think he is. But God is not that. God is verily God. And let me say something to you. Some of the attributes of God is, first, he's holy. All of the holiness that ever was originated with God. That's why when a nation leaves God, they do not have a compass for what's righteous. That's why they bring in liquor by the drink, and why they bring in gambling casinos and stuff like that, because they feel like God has lost control. Well, God hasn't lost control. Another attribute of God is that he ever liveth. God is living. He's always been, and he always will be. So I just wanted to get these things over to you so that when I teach this lesson, maybe that it will be a little more understandable to you. God has got everything in control, and he knows everything minutely. He knows and remembers what you and I thought yesterday.
Amen.
And I know you could say, well, they tell me there's 7 billion people in the world. Yeah, that's what they tell me. But the Bible said the hairs of all your head are numbered. Now you think about that. God not only knows 7 billion, he knows how many hairs in each of our heads.
Man.
That's who God is. And I want to teach God as being ever-present and ever-powerful. And God, as the preacher read this morning, He's a jealous God. A lot of people don't understand that.
Right.
They think God ought to just accept anything. No, He wouldn't be God if He just accepted anything.
Right.
The people would be God. And I'm sorry to say that most Americans today thinks they are God. They live like I'm God. Everybody revolves around me. I want my way. I want everybody to agree with me. I want everybody to get things the way I get them. But that's not who God is. And so we're going to be reading about that this morning. Now, to get your attention to what we've got to say, I want to back up a little bit in chapter 4 of the book of Acts and bring us up to speed. I'll start reading at verse 32 and read very hurriedly. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was he his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessions of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Hosea, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see here that 5,000 people had believed, and there were already 3,000, so they had quite a crowd.
Man.
So they said, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to serve the Lord so much till we're just going to continually be at the house of God or going through the city witnessing over the Lord. And they said, and so they decided they'd just bring all their goods there and it would be distributed as everybody had need. Now, I don't have time to address this, but I could address it a little bit. You say, well, that's communism, isn't it? Well, it is. But let me say something about that. Communism will not work because it is not motivated on love. Now, love would work if everybody had love one of another.
Right.
But I'm not going to address that this morning. I just wanted to say that in passing. But the next chapter now, and I want you to get this, that what's happening here, they agreed to do it.
Right.
They agreed to do it. All right. Verse 1 of chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now what have we got here? We got a man and his wife, and they sold their possessions. Now, you notice that it said in verse 37 that Barnabas, he had land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they were doing, they were selling it, and bringing everything to the Lord. That's how much they love the Lord. That's called faith. They had faith the Lord would take care of them. Well, this man and his wife sold some and they kept it back. And Peter said, now, I will address this further, but he's saying, you sold your property and this is what the Lord gave you for it, and this is all of it. Well, it said here, he kept back part. And Peter said, while it remained, was it not thine own? After so, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Okay, now, he is saying, if you had told the people you were going to keep some of it, that would be fine. That was not the problem. The problem was him lying to the church.
Right.
Now, I want to let that soak in, because I don't want to get this out of proportion here. But that was the problem. In other words, anybody remember what one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Right.
So Peter is saying, you have lied to God and to God's people. Okay? Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. Now that's kind of a strange scripture. I mean, that's not our tradition, is it? Our tradition would be, Mr. Ananias, wonder what happened to him. He had a sudden heart attack or whatever. So in about 3 days, we'll have a funeral. Well, this did not happen here. It did not happen here. Now, and the young, verse 6, the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto it, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried their husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. That is kind of an unusual lesson in the book of Acts. But I want to say some things about it. First of all, I have heard it taught that Ananias and Sapphira were lost people. I do not believe that. You say, why do you not believe that, Mr. Pollard? Well, God, if God killed all liars, he'd kill all of us. See? But this man was a church member. Now, if he had not been a church member, what was he doing up there at church? What was he in the agreement to even sell anything?
Right.
I mean, the people, the Pharisees out on the street, they did not agree to sell anything. You see what I mean? So what I'm saying, I think this lesson this morning teaches what Paul says in Romans, and what it's in the Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now let me say something to you. Those of you that saved, you feared the Lord, or you would not have gotten saved.
Right.
You feared what the preacher said about your destination. And let me say, if you're not saved, you need to fear what God said about eternity. What's going to happen to everybody in eternity? Well, number one, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's going to judgment. I'm going to judgment. You're going to judgment. Now, if you read the book of Revelations carefully, saved people is not going to the same judgment as lost people. Now, I hear people all the time, or not all the time, but down through my life, I've heard several people say, well, I'm going to live the best I can, and when I get to judgment, if my good outweighs my bad, I'll be all right.
We heard that from the manager at the motel, didn't
we? Yes. And that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. And I know people come here and they leave, and I've had a few say, I won't be back, y'all are too judgmental. I'm not any more judgmental than the Bible.
Right.
I mean, you do want to hear the truth, don't you?
Man.
I mean, my old preacher used to say, now I could smooth it over for you and say, you know, you'd be a good little boy and good little girl. When you die, you'll go to heaven with your puppy dog. But he said, that's not true. The truth is, all of us, me and my folks, and you and your folks, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 21, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's not when I see you. I've not got you down here to say, you're a sinner. That's not my place. But God has said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, people think if you pay God back in good works, that he will cause you to keeps a bankroll on you. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, well, you'll be all right. Well, my old preacher used to say, if you could live good enough to go to heaven, what did Jesus die for? See? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That what? Most people quit right there. They quit right there and say, see, I told you God is love. See, God's love. God is love. But let me say something. I hope you remember this. God does not love sin. Amen. Now, me and you in our flesh, we love it. Hello, I'm still saved. Our flesh loves it. Now, I don't mean as a Christian, you love your sins, you hate your sins. But what I'm trying to say there is the fleshly man is a sinner by nature and by practice. And before you were saved, now I know people look at people and say, isn't he a nice guy? He pays his bills. He feeds his family. And that's good. You ought to. And you know, he pays his just debts. And I believe when he gets out of here, he'll go to heaven when he dies. The Bible, Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now that's what the Lord said. He's the one that's going to be doing the judging. Amen. At both judgments, Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. And he said to me, and he said to you, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You see what I mean? So God is love. God is love. But he don't love sin. And you say, well, does God know I've got just a little bit of sin? Yes, God knows it. And let me say this to you. Now, as a moral man, as a moral person, I'm hoping we all pay our just debts, be good to your neighbor, don't lie, don't steal. I hope you do that. But, and I have to teach that because that's what I hope for. But let me make it abundantly clear that if that's all you do, it will not take you to heaven.
Right.
It will not take you to heaven. See, Jesus Christ, God sent his Son to die for my sins and your sins. Then you say, well, I believe that. I know, but maybe you do. But do you believe it in your heart? Have you ever repented? That's the question. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. See? And so the reason I'm going way out on a limb in this lesson, I want to show you that God chastens those whom he loves.
Yes,
is it in Hebrews? It says, he that is without chastening is bastards, not a son.
Right.
For he chasteneth all his children. That's not what it says, but I'm paraphrasing.
Man.
You chasten your children, don't you? Do you like it when your kids throw a fit down at Walmart? You just real pleased with that, are you? Huh? Okay. Well, God don't like it when his kids gets unruly. God don't even like it when they lie to the church. So we say here, now, let me say something now to get this lesson a little more in focus. At the day this happened, they did not have a New Testament.
Right.
But the Holy Ghost had freshly come upon the church, and them preachers was filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, the congregation was filled with it. That's why they went everywhere telling everybody about Jesus. Can I say this to you, the church members? How many people have you told about Jesus this week? Have you handed anybody a tract? I'm not getting on you. Don't ask you to raise your hand. But I'm just saying, these people were filled. So God was very closely associated with the church at that time. Now, I feel that I need to say this to explain it. Paul said in Thessalonians, the last day of the church will not come except there be a great falling away. And I think we're in that falling away. Now, falling away does some things for people. Number one, falling away means in the church, the spirit is not as keen as he used to be to people. I've been in churches myself. When you'd walk in the front door, you'd feel a spirit, a good spirit, a peaceful spirit. I've been there. But the falling away is here, and the falling away don't mean men's falling. They're telling God what to do, and they're just not getting along. That doesn't mean that. That means that the Holy Ghost has been insulted for years and years, and he ain't here much anymore. I'm sorry. The Bible teaches a falling away. I said this last Sunday, I believe. Let me say it again. When I was a child, that's been a long time ago, lost people would not even work on Sunday. Now, I lived in a farm rural area, and we had men there that their wives would come to church and pray for them, and they'd grow a corn crop, say, and back then you gathered it by hand, and it comes Sunday, in the fall, they would not gather corn on Sunday. So they had reverence for God. Now, some of them never did get saved, even though they didn't work on Sunday, but they never repented.
Right.
You see what I say? Now, the falling away affects the nation also. At that same time, we had a little country church about the size of this building, thereabout. Maybe not quite as big, but it was full on Sunday. I mean, you could get more sinners to come to church back then, and what we got people here today.
Right.
They didn't all get saved, but they came to church.
Right.
Now, God likes that. But we've fallen away now to where people do not even regard the Lord. I mean, I am grieved that we last Tuesday voted as a state or several counties to allow liquor to be sold on Sunday. What's that saying? What's the population saying here in Oklahoma?
Right.
They're saying, no God.
Right.
We don't care what God cares. Did you know one of the commandments of the ten was to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? That's one of God's commandments. Now, I know the Sabbath under the law was Saturday or the sixth day. Seventh day, I'm sorry. And we act like today that Saturday is the sixth day. You say, well, what are you going to do on the weekend? You hear that expression?
Right.
That means Saturday and Sunday. To us, it don't mean that to God.
No.
We meet on the first day of the week. Look at your calendar.
Amen.
What's the first day of the week? You see what I mean? But Oklahoma, you know, we're so falling away from God until they voted to let liquor stores open on Sunday. And it grieves me, but it shows me the falling away that we got. Now, can I get back to the book of Acts where I'm talking about? They were so filled with the Holy Ghost until they said, we are going to give whatever we have to the advancement of this church. Now, when they said church, they're talking about members. They're talking about members. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they did that. But there was two members that said, well, we're going to sell our farm for $10,000, and we're going to keep back $3,000 of it. And they agreed to do it. So they brought and gave, you know, $7,000 or whatever amount it was down to Peter's feet. Well, Peter was so full of the Holy Ghost, he immediately knew what the deal was.
Right.
He didn't have to send a committee out to check. He didn't have to go to the courthouse. Look what they got for it. Nothing. He was so filled with the Holy Ghost, he immediately knew what they had given. And so he confronted them with it. Now, let me say something to you. Peter was not accomplice to murder.
Right.
But God was so close to them that God punished them, I believe, as children of God. This is not the only time that the Bible talks about church members dying.
Right.
What about, is it 1 Corinthians, Lord's Supper, 15? 13? No, it's not 13. Where Paul said you're taking the supper and you're not doing it correct. And many of you are sickly and some of you are slim. So what were they doing? They were getting drunk and overloading food at the Lord's Supper. And the Lord wasn't pleased with it. So the Lord took some people out. Now, let me say something. If they're saved and they get killed because they don't serve God, they don't go to hell.
Right.
Because salvation is forever. See what I mean? But, God had a reason for doing this. Now let me read verse 11 again. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things.
Yes,
what does fear in a church cause you to do? If you're saved and you really get the fear of God in you, what does it cause you to do? Be a rebel? No! It causes you to search God more closely to see how you stand with Him. Because if you're saved and you know you have any knowledge about it, you want to turn out good at judgment seat judgment. Let me ask you, how many of you, the saved people here, how many of you would like to show up at judgment seat and all your works burned up and you'd be saved though as by fire? You want to raise your hand? Nobody? Well, now I'm addressing what this lesson is about. The Lord wants us to be active for Him. I know a lot of you have got to work, and that's okay. But can't you find a little time besides your work schedule to talk to somebody about the Lord, invite them to church, read your Bible? See, that's what God wants us to do. See? God does not want us to be passive Christians. He wants us to be active Christians. Let me ask you a question. In these days, were these apostles active? Or did they say, well, we're going home. You know, Peter tried that once after the Lord resurrected. He said, well, the Lord didn't come throw these Romans off, so I'm going fishing. But the Lord looked him up. And he said, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. See? And so, that's what God wants us to be. Now, I think this was given for an example to church members to tell us to stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Like I said, I do not teach this couple here lost. The lost people were still out on the street. And they lied, and God, in His book, He says, all men are liars. See? Let God be true, but all men are liars. And you know, you and I, we still got that problem sometimes, don't we? One preacher said, we tend to, when we talk about things and we really want to impress people, we'll say, somebody say, well, two people are out here done so-and-so. And so we'll go out and we'll say, three or four have done that. We're wanting to enhance our message. Well, I'm not getting on you for that. I'm just saying that's our tendency to do that. See, and the Lord wants us to tell the truth. Now, sometimes you get in a place where it's hard to tell the truth, isn't it? Huh?
right?
Yes.
And then they decided to hold some back.
Right.
Some other thing, and that's why when Peter said, when it was yours, wasn't it all yours?
Right.
Now, what about our prayers and our study life and our devotion to God?
That's right. That's right. How much of that do we do? Can I hit a nerve right now? How much time do we spend on our cell phones? Uh-oh. You feel that little breeze come through? Yeah, I'm not against phones. I got one. And I hope it don't go off while I'm talking. But hey, just to spend your time looking at that thing, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, and not getting anything else done, right. I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. I'll just tell you. You can run me off later, but you see what I mean? I mean, it's a useful tool. Automobiles are a useful tool, but you can kill people with them.
Right.
So what we're saying here, God did this to get their attention. It was a new church. They didn't have this scripture to read. Man, you've got this scripture. Well, when you read it and say, boy, I better fear the Lord. And I know if you're saved, you need to be taught to fear the Lord.
I have a question. Don't you believe that if Sapphira had come clean with Peter, that this wouldn't have happened to her?
I do.
Because he specifically asked her.
Right. So she didn't know he was already in the grave.
Right.
You know, the thing is too, Brother Good, if you take a set of scales and put the apostles and the church at that time over here and put us over here, it's gonna be.
Yep, sure. And I understand that. And while I go, when I said we're in the fallen way, I hope that's not giving me and you a purpose. I hope it's not giving me and you a reason to say, oh, well, I'm in the fallen away. I'm not going to do much. And you know, I'm convicted that I ought to do more for the Lord. And I have to ask Him every day to forgive me of my feebleness in my Christian life. See? And so I'm just saying this. Now they didn't go to work. They went to church. Say, well, is that good for us? Well, we're in a different time. And when Paul got to 1 Corinthians, he told them twice, said, you got houses to eat in. And that's okay to have a house. It's okay. And I've run across one or two preachers that kind of thought you ought to live under a bridge and serve God. And if that's the case, what about over there where Paul said, if they don't work, they shouldn't eat?
Right.
So, you know, now what you really need to do is study the Word of God and get it balanced. And it will balance out.
Amen.
God will give you time to work and make a living. But also, let me say this to you, God gives you time to serve Him. And you need to do it. And I'm just telling you, and I can understand. Great fear came upon the church. Great fear came upon them.
Man.
You say, well, what were they feeling? They were feeling great fear from the hand of the Lord had shown up and shown them that He was vitally interested in what they were doing. You say, we're down here. I'm not down here to show you I've got on a necktie. I'm not down here to so you can see me. I'm nothing to look at. I know that. But we come down here to serve the Lord. He said, forsake not to assemble of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
If there's any time that America ought to attend a true Bible preaching church, it's now.
Man.
See? The falling away is a sign that the end of the world's coming. You go read that scripture, that's what Paul said. These Christians are at Thessalonica, we're looking for the Lord to appear, and I think we should. But But he said, the Lord will not come except they're coming falling away. In other words, that's going to be a sign. And it is a sign to me. It's a sign to me that this world's about ended. And I don't set dates. I don't know when the Lord's coming. But he said, that day will not come, the day of judgment, the day of calling out the church. Let me ask a question. If the church got called out today at 1 o'clock, would you still be here? See, I got news for you. If you don't get out when the church goes, I don't think you'll have another opportunity. That's my opinion. I got some people disagrees with that, but I don't think you will. I think when God's good to us and he feeds us and gives us water to drink and a good family and a good house to live in. And I'm just impressed to say this just about every Sunday, because we Americans have got a life so good, we don't understand how good God is to us. Man, I see this grocery stores all through this area just got food stacked to the ceilings. I see that as manna from heaven. Go to North Korea and see if they got it. That's God's blessing. I don't think God blesses our generation so much, but I think he's blessing us for the past generations of people that believed him. Now let me say something to you. God is not obligated to give you food to eat. God is not obligated to give you a house to live in. God is not obligated to do anything but to bring you to judgment. He is obligated to do that. You say you're teaching a mean spirit of God. No, I'm not. God was so good to America and so good to mankind that he sent his only begotten Son down here to die for all of us. That's good. That's good. Now, I've said this before, but when I talk along lines like this, I just feel an urge to say it again. Most of human beings, from the time of Adam down to now, died of starvation, or in a prison camp, or an abandonment, or was discarded by their community and nation, or died in war. Most people died that way. You say, well, we got women and children. Hey, if you haven't studied it, go study the Europe and Asia in the 1930s and 40s. Study that. And see if you don't want to get on your knees and thank God that we've got peace and tranquility right now. Now, this Bible says it probably won't last. So I'm just saying this morning, if you're not saved, you better seek God while he may be found. You know, God hadn't promised always to call you. You say, well, when I go down there, I feel a little something right here. Good. I hope that's God awakening your awakening your conscience. See, if God never awakens your conscience to how lost you are, you will never get saved. I get chastised for saying that, but I say it anyway. Jesus says, no man cometh unto me except my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. Now that's what the Lord said. Don't look at me. I didn't say it. He said it.
Man.
See? So you say, well, I feel a little tingling down here. I don't like to go down there. You better like to come down here. You better want to come down here and get it enhanced. Because that's your instructions to find the Lord. And I say that in love. I don't say that to chastise you. When you do that, that means God, when you repent to God's satisfaction, that means you've got an eternal abode in heaven.
Amen.
And that's the only way you'll get it in our dispensation. I'm out of time. Thank you for listening to me. I hope this lesson hadn't been too scattering. I hope that it'll help you some way.